Hello and welcome to Failing Up. Thank you, Jungle Jim, for that wonderful, wonderful musical introduction. What a way to set the tone, no pun intended, Jungle Jim. Our musical director, very talented fellow. Oh my gosh, composing that on the fly, I believe. Hi, this is Tim Marr. This is Failing Up. Recording this on the banks of the mighty Seneca River, feeding up into Lake Ontario, that great Lake of Ontario, which then finds itself going into the mighty St. Lawrence River, the St. Lawrence Seaway with 1,000 islands. 1,000 islands. All leading all the way right up into Canada and then out into the mighty Atlantic Ocean and around the world. So you can hop a boat right outside the door here and be anywhere you want in the world. If you make a left, of course, you're going to end right up in Ontario, or you go a little bit to the left into the south and you can end up in a Buffalo Lookout for Niagara Falls. Ending up in Ontario, goes into Lake Ontario, goes to Lake Erie, and it connects out, I believe, to Michigan, into Superior and Huron, if I got them right. But they're really these great rivers that all connect and lead out to the Atlantic Ocean. Excuse me, really amazing. And we all know the story of the Edmund Fitzgerald, that great song, tremendous tragedy, and a song written by Gordon Lightfoot on the Edmund Fitzgerald, one of the many freighters that travel these Great Lakes, and in a November storm, broke in half and sank. The Edmund Fitzgerald. The winds of November, remember. That's right. They sure do. Oh, excuse me for that echo there. So this is Failing Up. This is Tim Marr. And I'm recording this on Saturday, October 9th, and 2021. Beautiful autumn up here in upstate New York, about 5 hours from the mighty New York City, the city of the world. I think New York's really the world's city, the world's capital. You know, many wonderful cities around the world, and I've had the opportunity to visit a number of them, London, Hong Kong, and there's just so many great cities. Here we have Los Angeles, Chicago, Seattle, Miami, the middle market cities, you know, all the greats, Cleveland, and Wisconsin State with, of course, some, you know, Green Bay. I love those Packers. They're playing tomorrow. Minnesota, and, you know, just, you know, Portland, Oregon is a lovely place. If you ever get a chance to go to Portland, Oregon, beautiful cities. And but New York is really, really the place, really the city. So, but on this day, this is the birthday of John Lennon. John Lennon. Some would say John Lennon, really the founder of the Beatles, along with Paul McCartney. But it was Lennon who established the Quarrymen and then met McCartney at a picnic. And then the Beatles came out of that, with George Harrison was referred to Lennon by McCartney. And then, of course, Ringo Starr replaced Peter Best on the drums. And there you have the Beatles, a group that just changed, you know, probably the most influential band, I think, ever to exist. And the band of the rock and roll era. Some of each, you know, I think you just can't. The Beatles were bigger than anybody, and their music was just so unique to the band and their presence, and what they did for culture, pop culture, went beyond their music. Really, when you look at fashion and some of their political views, and John Lennon was really, you know, first of all, extremely intelligent, great songwriter, composer, writer, talented artist, activist, and true to himself. Really, a guy who was true to himself, and his real mission, besides writing wonderful music, moving music, music that was thought provoking, and not just talking about pop music that was existing before that, but it was really more enlightened in music. McCartney and Lennon, probably the greatest songwriting team of all time. And I'm sure they'll get some pushback on that, but I think it's hard to say they weren't. And but Lennon was really driven, and really driven by his passion for peace, peace and love. And it was something that he lived. It was something that he preached, and it was something that he sacrificed for. And Lennon, I think, was probably one of the most influential pop culture icons of that era. I mean, you had other great lead singers, you had other great singers and bands, you know, tons of rock bands. You had the Rolling Stones and the Kinks and the Who, and a lot, you know, all the Motown bands and all those bands. But Lennon distinguished himself in the way he was more than a rock and roller. He was someone who people listened to on a lot of levels, and in some ways, a political and a spiritual level. Lennon really walked the walk, but Lennon made people think, and Lennon was thought-provoking, and Lennon wasn't afraid to challenge not only the establishment, but the way everybody thought. And he wasn't afraid to challenge himself, but his passion was peace. And two of his great songs, Give Peace a Chance, and then, of course, Imagine. And I think when you think about Give Peace a Chance, it got me thinking as to why in the history of the world, I mean, in the history of the world, not even this past 4 or 2 years where we seem so separated and everyone is seems to be at each other's throat, and the only solution to conflict is violence, and violence is constantly being promoted, and hatred has come to the forefront, and all the ugliness that was, you know, lying beneath political correctness has surfaced. But not just that, and not just through the annals of history, but also the annals of history, not the annals of history, although a lot of history belongs in somebody's anus because it's just so disgusting. I think that if we take a look at what really occurs when conflict is that there's violence, you know, and why? I mean, you can go back hundreds and thousands of years, and where do you go back? And violence always seemed to be the solution. And then why is that? Why was there never really peace? And why is peace not everlasting? Why are we a species, the humankind? Why are we a species that, for the most part, is incapable of maintaining peace? I think that's a fascinating question. Why are we incapable of maintaining peace? And you can go back and back and back to the annals or the annals or the inals or whatever you want to call it of history. And why is that the case? Why is it the case that somebody always wants more? Somebody always wants more. Somebody feels that their way is the better way. Somebody wants to have everything. They're not content. And you can take this on the macro level and say, sure, you know, there are countries that want to conquer other, always wanted to conquer other countries, always wanted to rule the world. And as the world expanded and you got into other cultures that were kind of like, you know, we didn't even know you existed. Now all of a sudden you're invading us. For what? Because we're here. And then how status was created, how through war and violence, the conqueror became the elitist. If you won, you were considered the better of the race. You were considered the better of the race if you conquered. If you went into some indigenous culture, which was very advanced, but you didn't understand, beautiful culture, beautiful artwork, beautiful customs, but yet you go in there and force yourself on that culture because you want to rule the world, and they're beneath you because you are going to rule the world. Think of what is lost. And why is that an innate characteristic in humankind? Something that just seems to be a natural part of our existence. And why is that? Why is it that individuals and countries want to own everything and conquer the world? And think about through history, just look through history and the atrocities, how the human race, on many occasions, under certain leadership and certain systems, have literally tried to wipe out parts of the entire human race, just wipe it out. I can't, you know, you think about it, and the horror and the torture and the horror of war, and why? And then you think about, where have these wars gone? And what happens when they're over? You know, what happens when they're over and 100,000 individuals are killed? You know, over 50,000 individuals are slaughtered, just slaughtered. What happens? It just moves on to there's never peace. And I guess it's we're the only species that I believe. Now, we're not the only species that's territorial, but we're the only species that kills for the sake of killing. And I don't have, I'm asking questions that I don't have answers to, but the question in Lennon's song, and happy birthday, John Lennon, he'd be 81 years old, is why not just give peace a chance? Why not give peace a chance? Because over the last thousands of years, BC, AD, the whole deal, it hasn't worked. So why not give peace a chance? It hasn't worked when the Romans tried to conquer the world. It hasn't worked when the Vikings tore the world, and Lord knows I have Viking blood. It hasn't worked when the white man came to the United States and wiped out a whole culture here. Unbelievable. Wiped out the entire Native American culture and took all those beautiful customs. Didn't work in Ireland. It didn't work in other places. And then we went and stole individuals and brought them here to make our culture, whatever, better because we didn't view individuals as human beings. It doesn't work. It doesn't work when a dictator in the 1930s, through propaganda and lies, starts a world war and then tries to annihilate an entire race and races. So it doesn't work. You know, you just sit down and you say it doesn't work. But as time goes on, we get better at it. We get better at war. We get better at killing. We get better at wanting more. And we build the better weapons so we can take out more. But why not? Why not just call a timeout and give peace a chance? And I got a feeling who's ever looking down, whatever you believe is looking down here on Earth is saying, what the hell? Why aren't you guys just giving it a chance? Why don't you just call a big time out and realize that year after year, decade after decade, century after century, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Lots of people die. Lots of great ideas and beauty and art and music dies with them. People lose their parents and their siblings and their loved ones. Why not just say, hey, let's give peace a chance? Is that naive? Absolutely. That is so naive. But boy, it sure is a nice thought. It sure is nice that there was a time where there was this iconic figure who wrote beautiful music with a band that really changed the way we looked at the world. A band that did change. In 1964, when the Beatles hit the United States after being a record toppers in the UK, everything changed. You know, everything changed. They came on the heels of an assassination of a popular young president. And they helped heal a country. And they changed the way music was. They changed the way we looked. They helped us question. They opened the door for this invasion, the British invasion, all these other bands that took American music and added to it, took the blues and took rock and roll and took country music and added to it and came over here and fed us back our product and fed us back our culture, our musical culture. We said, wow, that's really great. Well, guess what? That's been here all the time, but they just brought it back. And in the case of the Beatles, they innovated off of it. And they started, you know, answering questions with questions. And they questioned everything. And they changed the culture. And they changed the way we looked. And a revolution did begin. But a revolution not based in violence. A revolution based in music. A revolution evolved from 1964 on of music, of art, of writing. I mean, that era, which you just kicked off until we are today, is incredible. You know, I was only 5 years old. And there are only a few moments in my life that I think really shaped me. One was the arrival of the Beatles, because that changed everything. I was 5 years old. I didn't understand when the president was assassinated, John F. Kennedy. I didn't understand it. I was 3 years old, 4 years old, and I really didn't, you know, understand it. And when the Beatles arrived, it was like magic. It was just magic. When Bobby Kennedy was assassinated, that really impacted me, because I thought he was someone who I looked to. And I was 9 years old when Bobby Kennedy was assassinated. Another moving moment in the Beatles, and then the original cast, the Not Ready for Primetime players in Saturday Night Live. When I saw Saturday Night Live and what they were, I had no idea what they were doing. I'd never seen anything like that before. They were irreverent. They were funny. They were smart. And I just loved what they were doing. And really, from that day on, led to my passion in improv. The only other show that really impacted me like that would have been Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In, which I thought was just a great show, you know, off the charts at the time. But the Beatles, and they had John Lennon, they had this mix. The Beatles were four. It wasn't like, you know, they had a lead singer. It was four of them, you know, John, Paul, George, and Ringo. And there they were. And you had your favorite Beatle, but when they were on the stage, they were all together. But Lennon was, you know, he had Paul, the cute one, and George, the silent one, and Ringo was, you know, kind of the, you know, goofy guy. But Lennon was the sharp-tongued, witty, acidic wit guy. And to have someone who was part of that, and then when he went solo and wrote music, that people of his generation and some and beyond would just listen to. When he spoke, people listened. And to have him pick that platform was really incredible. To have him die at the hands of violence is ironic and tragic. To have him still quoted today on and off, and I post his quotes all the time, is inspiring. And to hear some of the music he wrote was so honest and so raw, especially in his solo years. It was really moving. But John Lennon, and let's give, you know, can't we just give peace a chance, is a question that nobody ever answered. It's a question that nobody really wants to answer. Because this world has never given peace a chance. I don't think this world is capable of giving peace a chance. You know, it's an oxymoron where we say we fight for peace. We fight for peace, and then somebody gets a little bit of peace, and there's never really peace. Maybe in our own little worlds there might be some peace here and there, but there's never true peace because we don't have peace of mind. You know, how do you get peace of mind? Everybody always wants something. Everybody's always comparing themselves. Everybody wants the shiny eye jobs. I don't know. What am I talking about? But oops, there goes my Coke bottle. Hey, there it goes on the floor. But it's just amazing that that a guy that creative and that wonderful wrote a song that impactful that to this day resonates. All we are saying is give peace a chance. A chance. Isn't that what we really want to say? Hey, I got my favorite newspaper in the world. I love the printed newspaper. I love a hard copy. You can hear it. I love a hard copy printed news. I just love it. I love it. I love holding the newspaper. I love the smell of the newspaper. I like the ink on my pants. That's a whole other subject. Maybe a little kinky, a little ink on my pants. But my favorite, I think the world's newspaper is really, the Daily News. Now, granted, it's billed as your hometown newspaper out of New York City, and it really reflects New York City. And New York City, again, and I love Boston. Boston's probably my favorite city in the world. But New York City really is the world city. So it takes you into New York City, and New York City is kind of a microcosm of the world anyways. And, you know, it's your New York's hometown newspaper. And if it's happening in New York, it's happening everywhere. And, you know, it's written for the everyday person. It's not, you know, I love the New York Times. I grew up reading the New York Times. I still grab one when I can. But this paper is the paper that more people read. This is the paper, if you're walking down Manhattan, this is the paper you pick up at the newsstand. This is the paper with the fun stories. This is the paper with, it covers everything. And as Abraham Lincoln said, I like ordinary people. God liked ordinary people the best. That's why he made so many of them. And I think, can you hear those chimes? A lot of stuff going on today. But this paper is great. You know, it covers, it's a brutal paper when somebody screws up in New York, like Andrew Cuomo. But it has some great stories. You know, like cops, for example, you know, these cops were in for a real treat in Queens. Had a hard time saying that. Because this dude in the New York Times, this Tarzan wannabe, the story is written by Carrie Burke of the New York Daily News. This guy was wanted by the police for assaulting his girlfriend and I believe it's harassing his mother and assaulting his girlfriend. So what's he do? The police come to the house to get him, and the guy jumps out of the house and into a tree. And they say that, you know, he's having his Tarzan kind of kickoff, you know, the gentleman here. And he jumps into a tree. He's in Queens, New York, and he's in a tree. And the cops can't get him down from the tree. So he's wanted for punching his 50-year-old girlfriend. And he argued with the family and threatened his mother, and he has a record. So this guy's in a tree, and the cops are around the tree, and they can't get him down. And it's a standoff. And they're trying to be delicate about it because they want to be careful with this guy. There's a big piece of artwork going up in New Jersey, and it's pretty phallic. So if you get a chance to see the Daily News and this giant piece of artwork on the Jersey City waterfront, which is just right across from Manhattan, you know, and the river, and you can, you know, see the Hudson, and you can see the, you know, the Empire State Building. But it's by a Spanish artist, Juan Plesna. It's 80 feet tall. It's pretty phallic. It's called Water Soul. I have no idea what it's going to be. But this is all in the Daily News, you know. And it is a world paper, you know. DA is not done with Durst. We all remember the story about Robert Durst, you know, the real estate heir who apparently killed his wife and then killed the person he was convicted of, who then went on to supplied his alibi, and then he took her out too. And, you know, over in Hong Kong, this paper covers it all. I love this paper. It covers it all. Here we are in Hong Kong. There was a building collapse in Hong Kong. A long way down, the whole scaffolding collapsed. It looked like New York. But I don't know if you're aware, in Hong Kong, and I don't know if other China, but when I was in Hong Kong, their scaffolding is made out of bamboo. Bamboo is extremely strong, but it's really shocking to go through there and you see the scaffolding on the buildings in bamboo. But you gotta, you know, this paper is just great. You got your horoscopes. I don't know, you know, nobody's horoscopes are more accurate than those in the Daily News. I mean, if you really want to get a horoscope reading, you got to get it out of the Daily News, because all the other ones are bogus as far as I'm concerned. You got some great comics. You got, you know, the Yankees, and all you raw Boston fans would like to read this paper and use it as toilet paper. But, you know, Troy Aikman ticking off the Dallas Cowboys. I just like the sound of that. That's a newspaper. The Daily News. I try to get this paper as often as I can. I love the Sunday version. And I think, you know, I think it's just a great paper to have. It's a fun paper, you know. It's a fun paper. And I think, you know, excuse me, other cities have these fun papers too. And, of course, there's a lot of tragedy in the world as well as we look through the newspapers that, you know, we talk about give peace a chance, but ISIS is still alive and well, you know, blasting people in Afghanistan. And talk about other, you know, tragedies and the big, of course, scandal with, you know, the rich trying to pay their way to get their kids into college. You know, why would you do that? You know, why are you spending a bazillion bucks? You know, put the paper over here. I love this paper. You know, the head of Staples was one of them, but, you know, they're spending $200,000 and $300,000. The other guy was a Las Vegas casino owner. And of course, there's all the Hollywood stars. To get their kid into some school, to get their kid into USC. Now, if your kid doesn't have the grades to get into USC, why do you want them to get into USC? Because even if they get into USC, now you're going to have to pay off teachers to get them through USC, because they're not going to just get through USC if they can't even get into USC. So they're either going to flunk out of USC, or you're going to have to pay off somehow USC to keep them there, or the other universities. And then when they get out of college, I guess you just assume, what are they going to do? You assume they're going to live be trust fund kids. And if they're going to be trust fund kids, if they weren't stupid, if they weren't smart enough to get grades in high school to get into the college they want, You're paying off to get them into college. They're going to end up being trust fund kids. Why don't you save all that money? Why don't you save that $200,000 and just give it to them now? Tell them not to bother going to college. Tell them to take up, finger painting or go work at the tennis club, whatever they want to do, and call it their career, and just understand that they're going to get the trust fund and call it a day. Call it a day. They don't need to go because they're not going to learn anything. They just want it on their, their resume, I guess. They want the experience, but they're not going to make it. You know, it's crazy. You know, and I worked at some fine universities. I worked at Syracuse University and I worked at Cornell University. And I can tell you firsthand that it was very strict as to how we accepted gifts because of that. And it didn't matter who you were. You were not getting in flashing any money. You got in based on your grades. And, I worked in the areas of fundraising and, you didn't buy your way into either of those institutions. You know, you either cut the mustard in the classroom or, you didn't get in. So the Daily News, I love that paper. I can't wait. Tomorrow's Sunday. I can't wait to get Sunday. Oh, Sunday's version is great because it has the justice story. But you look at the Daily News and all the things that are going around on a daily basis. Boston Globe's another good one. But the Daily News is, special to me. And my next podcast is going to be all about the Daily News. It was my friend as a kid growing up. But the Daily News, there it is. Violence in the Daily News. ISIS is still going on. And people hide behind, religion and say that they're God. And bullshit, baloney. But it's really interesting and sad that for some reason, we're just incapable at this moment in time, as all the time in history, of just giving peace a chance. So as the late, great John Lennon said, all we are asking is give peace a chance. I hear you, Jungle Jim. I hear you playing that tune, my man. And Jungle Jim is playing that tune. He's playing it tonight for the great John Lennon, one of the individuals who shaped and I look up to for his music, but his writings. And that's right. So tonight, all we're saying is happy birthday, John, and let's give peace a chance. Tim Maher and Failing Up. Go Packers!